recorded message number TL570. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job, the 5th chapter of the book of Job, where we begin our studies today. Now, in the previous study, we had the discourse of Job in the 3rd chapter as he speaks to his three friends. He mourns the day, even curses the day in which he was born. In the 4th chapter, we began the first discourse of Eliphaz. He was the oldest and maybe the wisest, worldly wise, among the three visitors, the friends of Job, who had come to comfort him. Miserable comforters they are indeed. Now, in the first part of the discourse of Eliphaz, the introductory words which we read in the 4th chapter, we find there that this man assumes that God at the present time is displaying his government. God at that time was displaying his government, which is the same mistake that many people make today who try to believe that God is governing things. Everything that takes place is according to the will of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God and so on. That is not true. Eliphaz was wrong in that day, and you would just be just as wrong in this day, for God is not displaying his government. He is displaying his grace and will do that until the time comes when he intervenes into the history of man and takes the government of this world to himself. Now, as we continue to see what Eliphaz said, he says, call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the holy ones wilt thou turn? It is not saints there, it would be just be the holy ones will you turn. In other words, what he is saying is that if you should have to turn to anyone, who could you turn to but God? He says that wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. They're caught up in the law. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. What he's trying to say is that when affliction comes, and trouble comes, these just don't spring up out of the ground. No, there's something that causes these. And in this present time in which we live, we often create our own troubles. We create our own difficulties, and then we're greatly troubled by the trouble that we have created. We're greatly troubled by the difficulties which we have brought upon ourselves. Yet, he says in verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, which they always do. Due to the heat of the fire, the sparks will fly upward. He says to Job, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Now, he's going to speak of God, and these things that he says will be entirely true, although his reasoning concerning Job is not true. God doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth, and sendeth water upon the field, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprises. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. To the poor, so the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Yea, in seven there shall be no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shall thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy offspring is the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, and so it is. Hear it, and know that it is for thy good. And that is what I was speaking about when I told you that this man Eliphaz, that he looked upon the time in which he lived as if God were displaying his government. And there are those, as he sets it forth, this is the way he says, we've searched it, and know that it's for your good. If Job would just pay attention to it. Now, Job is going to answer him. And his answer is really an appeal for pity. He answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed. If you would weigh my grief so that you could understand it, and my calamities laid in the balance together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Does the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or does the ox low over his fodder, his food? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that it would please God to destroy me. They would let loose his hand and just cut me off. Job recognized that he was held in the hollow of God's hand. He wishes that God would just unloose him and cut him off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? What is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones? Or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me? My wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of the brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm they vanish, when it is hot they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside, they go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked, the companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came hither and were ashamed. But now ye are nothing. You see my casting down, and you're afraid. Did I say bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hands, or redeem me from the hand of the Almighty? Teach me, and I'll hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words! But what doth your arguing reprove? You imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless. Ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore, be content. Look upon you, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you. Let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Well, Eliphaz, the first speaker, is going to answer. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? He takes it for granted that there is already an appointed time for man upon the earth. He thinks that every time that a man dies, he dies because God took him. And you'll hear people over and over say that if your number is up, you're going to go. I don't believe anything of the kind. I don't believe that every time a man dies, it's because that God was on a killing spree. Or that if 50 people die in a plane accident, that God was just anxious to kill a lot of people that day. Not in the least. It says in the second verse, as we follow the words of Eliphaz, he's answering Job, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossing to and fro until the dawning of the day. This is Job's answer to Eliphaz. I reversed the names a while ago. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken, and as it festered, of course, it become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle that are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that has seen me shall see me no more. Their eyes are upon me, but I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so is he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job continues, am I a sea or a whale that thou settest to watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams, and you terrify me through visions, so that my soul chooses strangling, and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live always, that is, perpetually. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? And thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression, and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, Thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Now, this brings the man Bildad in. And lo and behold, he is going to take the attitude and going to make the declarations that Job is nothing more than just a hypocrite. That's what he thinks. So we read it here in the 8th chapter. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long will you speak these things? How long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment? Well, the answer is no. Doth the Almighty pervert justice? No. His attitude is that God has judged Job and is punishing him for some hidden sin. If my children have sinned against me, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of the righteous of thy righteousness prosperous. Though the beginning was small, yet the latter end would greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in his greening and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, and it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing, and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. What does Job say in answer to the charge that he is a hypocrite? We read in the 8th chapter that Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. Verse 8, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, these constellations, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, and I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away, who can hinder him? Who shall say unto him, What doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him, and choose out my words to reason with him? whom though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplications to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice, for he breaketh me with the tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, and filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if I speak of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? Who will give me my day in court? Verse 20, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it also shall prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul, I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the face of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteneth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, it will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water, and make my hands never so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch. My own clothes shall uphold me. For he is not a man that I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon both of us. This daysman is the mediator. And there was no daysman, he said, that might lay his hand on both of them. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Job continues to speak. He says, my soul is weary of my life, and I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me the wherefore thou contendest with me. It is good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of the hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. Hast thou eyes of flesh? Perceivest thou as the man seeing? Are thy days the days of the man? Are thy years the man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? He says to God, thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk, and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted my life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. for it increases. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increasest thy indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Or that I had given up the ghost and no eye had ever seen me? I should have been as though I had not have been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. If you just allowed me to die, he said, when I was born. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness, as darkness itself, and the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is the darkness. Now Zophar speaks. His message is short, and in his message he assumes that he knows all about God, and he assumes that he knows what God will do in any given case, and why he will do it, and God's thoughts about it. And of all the forms of religious dogmatism, this form is really the worst. So Zophar, the Naamathethite, spoke, and he said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should your lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For you have said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. That's what he says, that God is exacting of thee less than your iniquity deserves. He knows nothing about what God is doing. He knows nothing about the conflict that God is having with Satan. But he asks the question that shows his knowledge. Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty under perfection? The answer is no. You cannot by searching find out God. You can find what he said about himself in the Bible. And that's all you can ever find out about the Almighty, is what he has disclosed concerning himself. You can take all the philosophies of men and all the thoughts of men, and it can't add to your knowledge of God unless they should bring you something that God has already revealed in his book. The knowledge of God, he says, is as high as heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather to himself, and who could hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wicked also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If you prepare your heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in your tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt sign forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, they shall dig about thee, and thou shalt make thee to rest in safety. And thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. That's that kind of talk that you get. Everything will be all right. You just pray about it, and everything will be all right. You just pray about it, and God will heal your loved one. You just pray about it and you'll win at Las Vegas. All you've got to do is just pray and believe that God will do it, and he'll do it. Ah, that's the worst kind of reasoning about God. He says, the eye of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape. Their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. And so there it is, this man's assumption. He knows all about God. He knows what God will do in any given case. He knows why God will do it. Well, what is Job's answer? Job answered and said, no doubt, but you are the people. You speak for mankind, and wisdom shall perish with you. That's a wonderful statement, wonderful answer. You know, there is a story about goes around in English circles. I don't know where it originates. Maybe some of my listeners could inform me about the tailor's Tooley Street. It was a street that many tailors worked on, had their shops there. And they had a grievance, and they took their grievance to the king, and it was all written out, and they started out, we the people of the United Kingdom. And that's the way they started. And there are many people that think that when they speak for God. Not only do they speak for God, but they speak for the people, and that wisdom will just perish with them. Job says, I have an understanding as well as you, and I'm not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? All of these platitudes, these familiar sayings that you have put forth. I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who call upon God and he answered him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised, and the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hands God bringeth abundantly. Job is speaking. He is answering Zophar. He says, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and fowls the air, and they shall tell thee. For speak the earth, and it shall teach thee. The fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words? Yes, the ear tries words. It puts words to the test and says, what do these words mean? Or just what does one say by these words? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He can shut up a man, and there is no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth in a flood. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leaveth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings. He girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, take away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out the light to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth. and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Job continues. He says, lo, mine eye has seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not in fear unto you. Surely would I speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. You're all physicians of no value. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. That is, it should just be your wisdom to keep your mouth shut. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleading of my lips. Will you speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? It is good that he should search you out. Or as one man mocketh another, so do ye mock him. He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrance are like unto ashes, and your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace. Let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. I'll die. Only do not two things unto me, then will I hide not myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and her sins? Make me to know my transgression, my sins. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me from thine enemies? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth, and as a garment that is moth-eaten. Well, that brings us to the close of the 13th chapter, and we have not yet finished the answer to Job, and inasmuch as I only have a matter of 2 to 3 minutes left, I will start the 14th chapter, but I know that I cannot finish it. But just notice these wonderful statements. Man that is born of woman is of a few days. 70 years, the Bible sets man's day. He can thank God for any more than that. He can't blame God for anything that is fewer. They're full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of the months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bonds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs as a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As waters fail from the sea, and the floods decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down, and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of the sleep. Job says, Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that is, in Sheol, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. He asked the great question, If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait, till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer, and thou wilt have a desire, the fulfillment of a desire to the work of thy hands. That is the final word that we will take. If a man dies, shall he live again? He answers the question. Well, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And the change would be from the state of death to the state of living. For he says, Thou shalt call, and I will answer. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Well, I'll have to bring it to a close at that point. I have enjoyed teaching you and reading and commenting upon these chapters in the book of Job. And so until we meet again from around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.